Santa Shishimad, His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru and Shigauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 18, entitled King Jayati Regains His Youth, Texts 20 and 21. Tambiran Ahusha Nashi Premanir Bharaja Gira Rajan Stwaja Grihito Me Pani Para Puranjaya Hastagraho Paramabhut. Oh, sorry. Okay, this is just one. Tambiran Ahusha Nasha Nashi Premanir Bharaja Gira Rajan Stwaja Grihito Me Pani Para Puranjaya Tanbiram Ahusha Nashi Premanir Bharaja Gira Rajan Stwaja Grihito Me Pani Para Puranjaya. Please chant. Premanir Bharaja Gira Rajan Stwaja Grihito Me Pani Para Puranjaya. Tanbiran Ahaushanashi Premanir Bharaja Gira Rajan Stwaja Grihito Me Pani Para Puranjaya Hastagraho Paramabhut Grihita Jastwajihi Me Esha Isho Krito Bira Sambandho Nauna Paurasha Tam unto him Biram Jayati Aha said, Aushanashi, the daughter of Ushana Kavi, Shukracharya, Premanir Bharaja, saturated with love and kindness, Gira, by such words, Rajam, O King, Tvaya, by you, Grihitaha, accepted, Me, my, Panihi, Han, Parapuranjaya, the conqueror of the kingdoms or of others, Hastagraha, he who accepted my hand. Aparaha, another. Ma, may not. Bhat, become. Grihitajaha, accepted. Twaya, by you. He, indeed. Me, of me. Eshaha, this. Ishakritaha, arranged by providence. Vira, O great hero. Sambandaha, relationship. Now, our. Na, not. Paurushaha, anything man-made. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. With words saturated with love and affection, Devayani said to King Jayati, O great hero, O king, conqueror of the cities of your enemies, by accepting my hand, you have accepted me as your married wife. Let me not be touched by others, for our relation as husband and wife has been made possible by providence, not by any human being. Purport. While taking Devayani out of the well, King Jayati most certainly have appreciated her youthful beauty, and therefore he may have asked her which caste she belonged to. Thus Devayani would have immediately replied, we are already married because you have accepted my hand. Uniting the hands of the bride and the bridegroom is a system perpetually existing in all societies. Therefore, as soon as Jayati accepted Devayani's hand, they could be regarded as married. Because Devayani was enamored with the hero Jayati, she requested him not to change his mind and let another come to marry her. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Roma Pada Swami Niti Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, thinking on this passage, something that I thought as reading actually the whole narration of King Jayati and Devayani and Sarmishta and Shrukacharya and then Yadu and Puru is a great personalities. In fact, one thing, you know, I mentioned it before, just a realization, that if you make it in the Bhagavatam, you are among the greatest personalities of the universe. So these are not ordinary people. Although, as we hear in the narration, we see that these different characters display different behaviors and emotions than when we question, you know, their elevation or advancement. In general, we tend to try to understand these behaviors from the perspective of our own experience, which is, you know, completely influenced by the times in which, you know, we are in. Is the what Prabhupada highlights when he tells the story of Dr. Frog. We're trying to understand something from the experience of our life. So when we see the displays of Devajani, of pride, and almost disregard when someone feels superior, you know, to someone else. Although, and you see that in common life, especially, you know, people that their so-called piety and the so-called generosity always has some material motivation or personal motivation that makes the whole thing not very deep and profound. My spiritual master, His Holiness Rupa Swami, tells a story when he was a young brahmachari that highlight this so-called piety, you know, that mundane piety that people has. He, as a young brahmachari, was doing book distribution, and he was approaching the business in the garment district in Manhattan. And he came into this storefront, and, you know, bright young brahmachari, shaved head, you know, saffron clothes, with his bags of books. So he come into this store, and the store owner was, you know, a person that immediately responded very positively to him. But the way he did was like, I want to show you something. It's nice that you come. Let me come with me. So he took His Holiness Ramapad Swami, at that time Ramapad Brahmachari, he took him into this office room of this man, and he showed him, look, he's showing a wall full of pictures with him doing all kinds of charity work. You know, like, this was in Africa, we were, you know, feeding these children, and this was in such place, and we're doing all this type of pious work, helping others. And this is some recognition that I have. So the man was displaying more or less how good he is to this young priest or monk. And my Guru Maharaj says, as a, you know, young person, that he just innocently mentioned to the man, that is very nice, however, what are you doing for the soul? What are you doing for the soul of these persons? And the man, what do you mean? He immediately became, you know, the whole goodness, friendliness, positively became into this, are you questioning me? Are you dare to question me? What do you mean? So anyway, it came out. It came out the real person, which is actually, although I am doing something for someone, I actually doing it for me, to make me feel good, to make me feel that I am important, or that I'm, you know, magnanimous, etc., etc. So we tend to see these qualities like this. So Devayani, she's displaying this quality of, you know, a superiority. She is the daughter of the spiritual master of the demons, and she, as the daughter of the priest, she or a brahmana, she was in a superior position in terms of etiquette to the daughters of the kings. So Sarmishta was the daughter of a king who was the disciple of Sukracharya. And they were friends. As a friends, you know, you are in an equal footing, friends. So, and there was a relationship as friends. But when it came some slight mistake, then it came the real thing. You know, I feel, you know, I'm superior to you. How you dare, you know? So she responded with pride. So we see these qualities, pride, maybe, you know, superiority, disregard, this type of thing. And we tend to place it into our experience of the world. We see Sarmishta, she displayed anger, she displayed almost like the anger went to such a extent that she actually attacked Devayani. And she took her clothes and throw it in a well. Throw her in a well. I mean, that's really like pretty heavy duty. I mean, criminal. So we tend to see the thing, oh my God, okay, so this is out of control. These people are out of control. We tend to see it like that. I'm just thinking, Shukracharya, he is an elevated brahmana, and he goes, you know, and he have to deal with this, you know, with all this drama when the daughter comes back, you know, and he goes to the king. He was feeling very, the commentaries of the acharyas say that he was not comfortable with this whole thing of, you know, he was lamenting that he have to go and deal with this, rather than to be in a, you know, detached from all this drama, mundane things, people, you know, acting like this. King Yayati, we see throughout the narration that he, in one sense, is so overcome by the desire to enjoy. This is externally what appears when we're reading, that he goes as far as because he gets cursed, as we're going to hear in the narration, by Shukracharya to lose his youth. Therefore, you know, how he regained his youth is that he goes as far as asking his own sons, I want to enjoy more, can you give me your youth? So it's like, oh my God, come on. Are you, you know, do you have any concerns for your children? You know, like that. It's like, you know. So then we see Yadu. He says, no, I'm sorry. I want to have, in order for me to achieve the goals of life, I have to go to the process of enjoying my youth, doing all these things that, you know, are these propensities. So there's more to it. So, Puru is the one who sacrificed. Okay, I give you my youth because, you know, it's the right thing to do for a son. So we have all these characters, and to understand all these behaviors and qualities and things like that, we cannot make the mistake of try to understand these great personalities from the perspective of our experience of Kali Yuga people. These are great personalities. Yayati and Devayani, they became the father and the mother, the parents of the great King Yadu, in which his dynasty, Krishna, appears. Sharmishta was the mother of the great famous personality, Puru, who is glorified. So these are all great personalities. And there's something very, very wonderful as you read the narration, that although they're displaying these things, although they're displaying attachments, although they're displaying the desire to enjoy, although they display, you know, different, what we call, you know, bodily conditions, you know, things that comes, you know, that by the condition of being in a material body, they never deviated from religious principles. They acted according to religious principles, and you can see that they rule themselves by religious principles. And we're going to hear throughout the narration how this becomes so evident that, you know, everything they do is within the space or the protection or the umbrella of religious principles. So we see how Devayani responded to the king touching her hand, and she, you know, giving her hand, that now she is married. And the king accepted that. And Sharmishta accepted the punishment of her actions by becoming the maidservant. King Yayati accepted Sharmishta's approach for a child because it's within these religious principles, you know, that rule Kshatriyas. I was just reading Prabhupada's comment that during those times, part of the Kshatriya dharma is that they cannot refuse. If a woman approached a Kshatriya and requested for a child, they can refuse. It's part of the dharma. And it's so much part of the dharma, such an important part of the dharma, that Prabhupada gave the example when Arjuna came after Krishna concluded his pastimes and went back to the spiritual world, then Arjuna was defeated while trying to protect the queens of Dwarka by a whole bunch of thieves and low-class, you know, people. And he was very, very distressed. Very distressed when he reached Hastinapuri. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he saw Arjuna's condition, Arjuna's sort of appearance, he said, "What is happening to you? What terrible calamity felt, you know, you happened to you? Did you refuse a woman that asked you for a child?" That was the first question. So, you know, all the things that we're going to hear to the narration are within the principles of religion. So they never deviated. And the fact that you can appreciate is that these are narrations in, you know, previous ages in which the Vedic culture was, you know, the system, the social system of the world, and how the Vedic culture supports the a progressive, a spiritual progressive society in which consciousness becomes elevated. The purpose of this social system, Varnashram, is to understand the ultimate goal of life. To understand one's, or to revive one's eternal position as a spirit soul in an eternal relationship with the personality of Godhead, Krishna. So everything supports that. And it's such a wonderful system that it takes into consideration the consciousness of conditioned souls. You can change a conditioned soul just by, you know, giving a lecture, philosophical explanation. You're not the body. You're a spirit soul. You're an eternal servant of Krishna. Snap out of it and get into your position, eternal position. It doesn't work like that. There have to be a process of purification. And within the process of purification, there have to be a regulated arrangement for the propensity of a living entity that is conditioned by the bodily concept of life. The propensities are there. The propensity is to try to enjoy through the body and through the senses. So sense gratification is a reality in the condition, in the condition consciousness of life, the condition life for a spirit soul. So the system would take into consideration that. So there are regulations. So the way Krishna arranged and designed is by regulation. So there's nothing wrong with let's phrase it differently. There is provisions to act in the conditioned state of life and pursue sense gratification. There is provisions within the context of this social system, Varnashram. And when we do it like that, because it's regulated and it goes along with other things that are theirs, then one becomes elevated. So we're going to hear to the narration of King Jayati that although he engaged for most, you know, for a lifetime in sense gratification, he had a very clear understanding of what the goal was. The next chapter is how he obtained liberation and he gave back the youth to his son Puru. So they got the picture, they got the full picture. In the Vedic system, it is explained that there is four Purusharthas. Purusharthas means, you know, aims of life. And they go together. And it's part of the big picture. So Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And so you can, you know, create a society eliminating some of these Purusharthas, which is what modern society is doing. You first have no conception of moksha, and then also take away dharma out of the whole thing, and you're left with artha and kama. You know, sense gratification and economic development. So that is the aims of modern society. So, in order, so there's a way of doing all these things. It's a way of having sense gratification within religious principles. Krishna says that dharma virudho bhuteshu kamosmi bharata shabda. I am kama. Krishna say kama, sex life, or kama sometimes is translated as lust or the desire to gratify oneself. Krishna says as long as this is dharma virudho, that is according to the religious principles, I am that. I am that type of action. So there is prescription. How is translated nowadays? Prabhupada gave us that process. Prabhupada arranged he made the arrangement for this modern world. Well, Prabhupada representing, you know, the disciplic succession, because it's there. He gave us the four regulated principles. By the four regulated principles, we can live, we can actually engage in different activities, including sex life, including some form of sense gratification. We eat, we like, we dance, we, you know, we do these things. We associate with each other. You know, today we're going, you know, the devotees have some gatherings and things like that. And there's happiness, there's enjoyment, there's some, you know, there's this family happiness, your children, your things, and, you know, these things are there. And obviously, it is explained that if you want to become, go back home, back to God, you have to give up these things. But it doesn't. It is not supposed to be like this. You have to go through the process. And that's the whole teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. That's Krishna's presentation. He say, as long as we have material desires, as long as we have attachments, renunciation is not the path. He tells Arjuna in the sixth chapter, work is the path. So we learn to actually follow a process in which we go through a life, you know, we have a way of exercising the propensities that this body brings in a way that elevates us in Krishna consciousness. And that's the process that Krishna gave us. And that's the process that we see that in a different time, but with the same principles of elevation, is, you know, these narrations of these great personalities. They adhere to the principles of religion. None of them deviated. And therefore, all of them are glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you see how they all, as it goes, you know, they naturally progress to the point of liberation and, you know, self-realization. And to the point that they are the personalities who facilitated, you know, us in their dynasty, the past tense of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Queen Kunti glorified in her prayers to Krishna, he says that he appears, he glorifies eternally the dynasty of Yadu, because he appears in the dynasty of Yadu. So now, you know, the Yadavas, the Yadu, you know, the dynasty of Yadu is eternally glorified. So an important thing is that something that we can take from this is that we have to live our lives according to religious principles and follow the system that is there given by Krishna and Krishna's representative for a progressive life in Krishna consciousness. We have to have the goal clear, and the goal is to become Krishna conscious, which Lord Chaitanya calls as the fifth Purushartha. That the fifth Purushartha is Prema Bhakti. That's the ultimate goal, and that's the message of the Bhagavatam. This Savai Punsam Paro Dharma. The supreme Dharma is like that. Is love, you know, Yato Bhakti Radoksha, yes. Is devotion to the personality of Godhead. We have to have that very clear as the real artha. So, or the real valuable thing. What's the best for us? So that's a big picture, and that's why we live our life. And as we live our life, we follow as we, you know, still conditioned by the body, we follow religious principles. We follow religious principles, and the process of devotional service, as given by, you know, the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada. Religious principle for us is the four regulated principles and, you know, the do's and don'ts that are given by our disciplic succession. And we live a progressive life in Krishna consciousness. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Just wait for the microphone so people can, in the internet can. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice. You mentioned the system has been given, the Varnashram ashrams. But the conditioned souls, normally he's got a lot of tendency for sense gratifications. So when he can understand that this life is very important and then the goal is moksha, and if he's wasting his time in sense gratifications, then he has to come back again. So when he can understand that he's wasting his time.
Yeah, I think in my limited understanding, the system is complete, and we cannot be selective. You know, okay, I do this part, but I leave that one out. You know, it's a complete system that Krishna provides. You know, it's what the Ishupanishad calls, you know, the Ishavasya, that whole, you know, that perfect system. And the system itself requires to have a spiritual master, you know, who is guiding. We have, you know, there's no holes in it. So there's no like concoctions or there's no improvisations and things like that. Everything is quite complete and controlled. So you have a picture of what the goal, the end is. The end is always moksha or liberation. So, and along with the process of just doing your sense gratification in a regulated manner, you also have sacrifices that you perform, sadhana that you perform, you know, things like that. So we hear how they in these cases, the kings, they have all these sacrifices, all these religious things that they do, you know. And they have a spiritual master, they have guidance, it's a full system. If we try to become independent from the system, then that's when we get into problem. If we selectively do this and that like that, you know. That's how I understand it. That in one sense, similar, although we don't have a Varnashram system to support us, we have the system that Prabhupada has given us, you know. And if we take it as a whole, then it's progressive. We see that we don't have to go to much hurdles. But when we try to be a bit independent from it, or do things, you know, my way or selectively, then we get into obstacles. Do you have a thought on that you want to share?
Well, I can see that the conditioned soul, because he has tendencies to enjoy this world, unless he frustrates in that attempts, that he's trying to achieve something, trying to enjoy, try to get some mellows out of everything.
Right.
Like you get, just like you have mellows to get some new car, but after some time it goes down. Once the car has become old, then it is useless. Then you still have mellows, so I want to get another car. Same with the money, same with the women or men or all other, like a food. You got some taste is there, just like food, you have some taste. And after some times, it's like ice cream, you take one, two cones, three cones, and after three or four, it's like vomiting, you can't eat it.
Right.
So the material world is like that. It's like more you want to enjoy, it more you're going to get frustration, because after some time you're going to say, oh no, that's, I don't want it. Then you want to go for new one.
Mm.
And you want to go for new one. You want to go for new one. So the mallows are always, you try to get something out of, some juice out of this world. But the real juice is to become a Krishna consciousness. You
right.
get mellowed with the Lord. But that condition comes only when you become frustrated in your attempt that, okay, this is again and again, again and again, I'm doing the same thing, when I'm going to stop these and try to get good mellows out of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the argument of Jadu. When King Jayati asked his son Jadu, eldest son, can you give me your juice? Jadu say no, but he say no. The reason he gave is that my goal is to become Krishna consciousness. But in order to do that, I have to exercise this, you know, my youth and the desire to enjoy. You know, I have to go through that. If I don't go through that, then that may compromise my capacity to give up that desire and, you know, dedicate myself fully to the service of the Lord. So, and then Prabhupada says that we can, you know, he actually, Jadu is glorified. He knew religious principles. He had the goal in mind. It was not, you know, and then the other sons, the other two sons, the verse says that they didn't know religious principles, right? And then it's different than Jadu. Jadu knew that, you know, he had the goal in mind, but he had to do this because it was his condition at that, whatever, you know, like that. So it's good for us to have the goal in mind. And that's what the spiritual master helps us. Because otherwise, it's easy to become bewildered without the spiritual master because of the propensities of the body. So the danger is if we lose the goal, if we lose the actual goal that is self-realization, not sense gratification. So, but yeah. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Thank you so much. Grantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.